listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine? Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life. Hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
Hello, my beautiful beans. Welcome to the episode of today. This is a head noise episode. This is where you guys send in your hectic, juicy, intense, exciting, a combination of all of the above questions. And we kind of work through them. I break it down and I give you my advice or my opinion on your situation. But before we go into the questions of today, I actually did have someone write into me, and it's not a question. It is just a beautiful letter, and I thought I would read it out because it's so great. Hi, Alexis. I just stopped by to tell you that you are a lifeline to me and my three babies. I randomly stumbled across your podcast what feels like a literal lifetime ago. I would listen to it in my breaks at work and in my car on the rare occasion when I was alone. I ordered your book, The Neuroscience of Self-Love, and had it delivered to my work and read it in my lunch breaks. I had to keep you a secret because you are my strength and I couldn't risk him finding out. Him being the man that abused us for 8 years. The abuse was consistent, psychological, physical, verbal, financial, the list doesn't stop. I was a shell of my former self, walking on eggshells in my own home. I had bought almost a decade before I met him. I sacrificed anything and everything I could to protect my children. Our lives were a nightmare and that we couldn't wake up from. Drug addiction, suicide threats and attempts, weapons, threats of horrific proportions to keep me submissive, abuse to my family and friends, damage to our home, emergency services called by neighbors, lies and gaslighting, an everyday occurrence all in front of my babies. I was isolated and terrified. I took everything you taught me and built us a lifeboat. After almost 12 months in therapy for PTSD, our lives have completely changed. I realized my lifelong passion actually had a name, and it's called social justice. I used what you taught me about neuroscience. I took Thursdays off work and began volunteering at a local Category 1 primary school. I'm now employed as a student support officer, and I've just been accepted to study for the first time since finishing school in 2002. The four of us are now growing and glowing. I believe that you literally saved our lives. I could cry, honestly. That's me crying at like every episode. That is so fucking amazing. And I just want to say thank you so much for sending that in. That just, makes me so sad and so happy for you and just so angry, but also so proud of you. I'm so proud. I'm thrilled of everything you've done for yourself and your children. That's just honestly amazing. And I hope that that resonates with people that are going through what you went through as well, because I think a lot of people, as you would imagine, have felt very alone, very isolated in those times. So you're fucking amazing. And I just wanted to share that story because it is just amazing. Honestly, I have no other words. I just really appreciate you writing into me and sharing that with me and the listeners. That's very special. Okay, now let's go into the next story. Well, a question, I should say. Hola, Alexis. I love your podcast. It has helped me so, so much. I've transitioned into a better version of myself and I'm forever grateful for your podcast. My question is about my relationship with my brother. He's currently dating someone who I believe is abusive. He is so in love with her and will do anything to make this relationship work out between them. About her, she's very controlling and blames a lot of other people for her troubles, never admits fault, has no self-awareness and wants things her way all the time. My brother has told me that she has even hit him when arguing. One night, we met up and we had a few drinks at their place. It must have been all the things I knew about her that got me to the point of not wanting to put up with her bullshit anymore. I guess you can say that I started an argument and she kicked me out. I haven't seen my brother since that night. It's been 2 months, and mind you, my brother and I are best friends. I have talked on the phone with him and he's begged me to reach out to her and resolve the issue. When I asked him if this is why I can't see him, he said yes, and that she would be really upset if she found out we had talked. He called me on my birthday and said that his girlfriend doesn't know about him calling me and that I should keep it between us or else she would get upset. Mind blowing. I reached out to her to catch up and work things out, and we met at a bar. When the topic of that night came up, she blamed me for the whole thing and said that I was calling her names and that I just left. Pretty much that I made the whole thing up and that she never called me names. I was so shocked that I had to record the conversation. I'm on the verge of cutting her and my brother off because he won't see it. And I think she is absolutely insane. Is there any way I can talk to someone like her? I miss my brother, but clearly he's gone on some wacky ass rose colored. I miss my brother, but he... I just love this line. Sorry. I miss my brother, but clearly he's got some wacky ass rose-colored glasses on. I appreciate you. Okay, thank you so much for sending that question in. This is a very good question. This is such a hard position that a lot of people find themselves in because you've got this person who you adore. It's your best friend. It's your relative. It's, I'm sure the rest of your family likely sees it and feels the same way. And it's really horrible to watch it all unfold, especially when you can acknowledge that they are abusive. And you can tell that for sure she is abusive. She's physically abusive, that's for sure. But also she is isolating him from his family. She gets upset when he speaks to his sister. So there's no question that there's a lot of manipulation and abuse going around there, at least to some degree. Now, this is what I would do if I were you. I wouldn't recommend you cutting your brother out because you love your brother. He is your best friend. So it would just make no sense. And as sad as watching these changes are, you don't need to cut somebody out in order to draw some boundaries and some parameters. If my sister was in that situation and she was kind of, you know, torn and she was always picking her partner's side and the partner never wanted her to see me, I would be distraught. But I would never cut her out. So what I would do instead is because you can talk to your brother whenever the fuck you want to talk to your brother. It is none of her business when you talk to her brother. If he doesn't want to share it with her, that's on him and that's his deal. But you're entitled to talk to your brother whenever you want. As far as I'm concerned, she can get fucked, right? This is now up to your brother to police how that unfolds. So if I were you, I would say, I want to maintain a relationship with you. I always want to be here to your brother, not to her. I always want to be here for you. And I would like to have a conversation whenever I can with you. If you don't want to share this with your partner, that is completely up to you. I'm not going to tell you what you can and cannot do. You've already got someone else doing that for you. I'm not going to do that. But I also don't want to have a relationship with her. And I will only have a very surface level relationship where I'm happy to be bare minimum polite if we're in a group setting. But I'm not interested in having a relationship with her because I see what she's doing and I don't think it's okay. So there you are setting some parameters. Also, what's really tricky in these situations is that her aim is for you to cut him off. That's what she wants. So if you do that, she's achieving what a lot of abusers achieve, and that is to isolate their partner. And when their partner is isolated, they will never fucking leave them, ever. So don't, unless you actually hate your brother and you're like, cannot fucking stand to have him in my life, he's toxic and I don't, unless that's the case, then I would not be cutting your brother out. Your brother, when he's going to be in his hour of need and when he's in that moment of do I stay or do I leave, the thing that's going to decide that is, will I feel safe if I leave? And when people have a community to rally around them when they leave an abusive relationship, they are way more likely to leave. If someone feels isolated, it is so hard, so fucking hard for them to leave. So my advice to you is to make it crystal clear that you're always going to be there for your brother emotionally, always. That if you're one phone call away, you always want to see him, that your thing is you just don't want a relationship with her. And that is perfectly fine, perfectly acceptable and whatever. But just, you're asking for my advice, do not cut your brother off. That's my advice. But fucking cut her off. She'll get fucked, as far as I'm concerned. Good times. But yeah, look, relationships like that, as hard as it is, you just have to always think, if there's ever a chance that he's going to leave her, would I want him coming to me? And if the answer is yes, then you've got to think, okay, well, then how do I behave so he feels safe coming to me? And that will give you your answer on how to move forward. Because if you want to be a safe space, then it will really paint a picture of how you probably want to be behaving. And try and put yourself in his position. If I wanted to leave this kind of relationship, how would I want my sibling to be there for me? Hopefully that's given you a little bit to think about and some insight into how to go about this. But I think it would be just, you know, you guys are best friends. Just be, you know, be there for him if and when he needs it. Okay, next question. Hi, Alexis. Love the podcast. And I just had a question, or if there's already an episode where you answer something similar, please let me know. Even if you don't answer my question specifically, I'd love it if you touched on this in your podcast and just discussed social media use and what should be classified as disrespectful in regards to social media use and your partner. At the end of the day, I know biologically that we all appreciate attractive people, but it's a new world with social media, and I think a discussion about this would be great to hear. And strategies to implement if you're overthinking about this topic. What are your thoughts about partners liking / saving photos or content from social media of other girls, or following lots of girls who post more explicit / half naked photos, etc.? I'm in a long distance relationship with my boyfriend for over a year and have never really struggled with these thoughts before. But with the distance, the anxiety tends to creep in. I went to Europe around 6 months into dating, and when I came back from holiday, he was scrolling through his liked TikTok videos that we were just watching together. And at the time, I thought it was on his For You page. But anyway, some videos of girls twerking / showing off their bodies or gains, etc., came up every now and then. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, since it was not often, and because of the algorithm of a For You page, I just thought, yeah, fair. But then I realized it was his liked videos, and that sent me. I started thinking, why is he giving these girls attention? Or is he liking it to save for later? What would I find in his saved videos? Full spiral, you know the drill. Anyway, I didn't say anything. I felt I was being silly within myself, and I just had a conversation with him, and just to have a conversation with him at a later date without bringing up what I noted about the TikToks he had liked. I just brought up I would feel disrespected if he had liked / saved content from girls like that, which he was good about and agreed, etc. I told him I don't care if he has friends and he likes their pictures, etc., but if it's more of a sensual half-naked type picture of them, I wouldn't really appreciate it. Since then, I feel it still nags on my mind. Perhaps because I never brought it up in the first place that I saw that he had. I just didn't want to accuse and blame him since we hadn't really had that conversation. He might not have realized that it was disrespectful to me and we were only 6 months in at the time. And I guess I just wanted to show I have pointed out I knew he had done that behavior. Do I just get over it and stop worrying about it if he's doing it still when I'm not around? We see each other every 2 to 3 weeks. Is this an unreasonable expectation of a relationship? I feel things are so different now with social media in the mix. After this happened in the spiral, I also had a stalk of his following on Instagram, stupid, I know, and noticed a fair few accounts that I thought was odd for him to still follow considering we were together. We had a conversation. He was amazing about it and reassured me and asked me to tell him who made him uncomfortable that I'd like him to unfollow. I told him to just go through it himself and unfollow the accounts that he would have followed when he was younger / single, of hot half-naked girls, or of any girls just posting content of that nature that he isn't really friends with or has nothing to do with. I told him I felt famous people or models are fine, and I told myself I wouldn't check and trusted he got rid of most of them, but I ended up doing it and he did go through and get rid of most accounts that made me feel uncomfortable, which was reassuring. Some still remained, but not many. I also noticed that when I went through the following, I looked at all the girls' accounts that weren't private and noted that when I was in Europe, he had liked a few hot bikini pictures / more sensual pictures from some girls he knows while I was away, which I thought was just weird. Again, this was before having the conversation, but I just noted it was weird he had done it specifically when I was in another country. And months prior to that, he hadn't. Anyway, again, he didn't know at the time. This was pre-conversation about me finding it disrespectful, but like, am I being unreasonable for wondering why he was doing it when I was in Europe? It gave me this uneasy feeling. Is it not a universally known thing not to act like this on social media, or does it mean nothing? Sorry, this has just turned into a novel, but thank you for your time in reading / responding on the podcast. Okay, thank you for sending that through. I feel like that's it's something that a lot of people go through, a lot of couples go through. And it's really difficult to have like a uniform answer for every single person on that one, because it's gray. I would call this gray. But I think the most important thing is that you have had a conversation with him. Absolutely crucial is the conversation. to really talk about it, and not just for you to talk to him, to get his, make it a conversation, because sometimes we build ourselves up. I don't want this. I saw this. I noticed this, or I don't like this, or whatever. We say how we feel, which is of course important, but what's really important is to get the return and say, what's it like for you? Do you feel the same? Is it different for you? How does it feel? And genuinely, not like, how would you like it if I blah, 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 but more along the lines of, do you feel that way? Or when these things come up, if you were to see that, does it actually affect you? Is it completely? Because some people are like, don't care, couldn't care less, don't care. So that's what I mean about it being grays, because when it comes to relationships, it really is the rules that the two of you set in place. I agree that social media has definitely made this way more chaotic, for sure. But at the end of the day, it does come down to what the two parties involved in this monogamous, or even non-monogamous, but whatever the rules are in that relationship. So I think it is fair, if you still feel this way, to just come clean and say, when we were scrolling through it, this is what happened. I don't want to bang on about this, but I need to just be completely transparent with how I'm feeling, because it's something that I saw and I just want to know how you feel about it. And do you feel the same way? You know, this is genuinely a way of me understanding you and for you to understand me better. Would I be okay personally as Alexis answering you? Would I be okay if Tyrone was doing that? No, but again, it's great because if it was like you said, if it was a celebrity, he loves J-Lo, for example, as do I. So we would probably both admire certain people. I love a lot of Formula One drivers, and Tyrone's like, fuck, that's a good looking man. Carlos Sainz is a fucking good looking man. So we both like, he's so fucking hot. So when it comes to certain things, we're both very on each other's level for it, no matter the gender. But yeah, if he's going around liking all these random naked images of random people online, I would say something. I would say, like, where is the need behind that? I would just love to gain some understanding as to where that stems from. And if he had like a compelling answer, maybe it would change my perspective. You know, sometimes people give you a compelling reason, but personally, I would talk about it too. That would be what I would say. I wouldn't necessarily be angry or cry. I would just be like, hey, like, where's this stemming from? What? Like, you know, because at the end of the day, we all have our own histories. We all have a life and an upbringing and a teenagehood and a whatever stage of life you are in, where you had your own experience that caused you to behave in a way and caused you to deem certain things normal and certain things not normal. So for you, what might be, this is not normal, might be completely normal for somebody else. Okay. And not just for your partner, but there might be another woman dating a guy being like, oh, fuck, I couldn't care less if they do that. I don't care. And so it's all perspective based. And that's why communication is paramount in this. Because if you can just say, look, I'm fine with these things, but I kind of draw the line here, which you kind of have already done. But if it's playing on your mind so heavily, I think it's okay in the most gentle and open, vulnerable way to bring up asking that whole thing about Europe. But make sure that when you bring it up, it's when you're both calm, when you're both in a good mood. Definitely don't do it if you're having a disagreement about something else. That is the worst time to bring something up that's not related to an argument. And just talk about it. Just say, I don't want this to be an insecurity. It really is not something that I've ever really thought about. But just to really just clear my head and clear my mind, do you mind if we just bring this up so we can, you know, hash it out? And he seems reasonable. Like you said, everything you've said so far about how he's responded to you saying these things is kind of like, that's reasonable. So I personally would just have that conversation again. I don't think, based on what you've told me, it sounds like there's not much depth to it. And he's probably not that attached to it. And it's probably something that he was just would do on a regular basis in general. And now he's like, oh, wait a minute. I actually need to factor in the fact that I'm now in a relationship and I now have these different parameters to it to, you know, live by. Okay. Hopefully that helped. I hope. Thank you so much for writing in. We have time for one more. One more. The title of this one is Topic: Drug Abuse in Relationships. Hello. I started dating my boyfriend almost 5 years ago. I fell in love with him at first sight and I knew that he was going to be the one. When COVID hit, it affected him severely. He lost his job and because of travel restrictions, moved back to his home country. We are both from different countries in Europe. During that time, he started smoking weed every day. But at the time, it didn't bother me as much, as I always had the opinion that he's a grown-up, going through a rough time, and he can make his own decisions. Fast forward 4 years, he suffered a burnout and stopped working his new job 7 months ago to take a break. Since then, he gets up, gets high, and plays computer games, nothing else. And I realize I'm losing my patience being stuck in this cycle of having a passive boyfriend. I've tried to talk to him, and he is aware of the issue. He also wants to stop this behavior, but he doesn't. So I'm at a point now. How do I support him while not forgetting about myself? I love him dearly, but I cannot stay in a relationship like this. When do I know that enough is enough and should I put my own needs first? I would love your insights. Thank you for writing that in. This is very good, very good question. Should you put your own needs first? Yes. Yes. Long answer, short answer. Yes, you should. And the reason for this is because it's not that you can't be there for somebody, but it gets to a point where, as you know, as we all know, the only person that can make a change is the individual themselves who's changing. And if you are genuinely concerned for somebody, you can still care for somebody and be there for them, but you can draw the line at the relationship side of things. So for example, if I was in your situation, I would say, I am not going to be in a relationship with somebody who has their life like this. I will care for you. I will offer you support because I think you're a good person, but I do not need to date you because I have a fucking, these are ultimately choices that you are making. And while there are cycles and while there's a lot of like issues at play, the fact that you're not seeking help is a choice. And I've been here to help you. And at what point, when will it end? You know, at some point you have to live your life and he is living his life. And it's okay. I would have more patience if somebody was seeking help and doing something about it, even if it was clunky, even if it was there was some like speed bumps along the way, but they were really trying. That would give me. I would be able to see future in that, and I would be optimistic and probably likely try and stick it out if I saw that in them. But the fact that because people say, "Oh, I want to change," but it's kind of like wanting to change and valuing change enough to actually change are two completely different things. You know, like I want a PhD, but have I gone and fucking done it? Because I know how much it's going to cost me to do it. I'm talking financially, I'm talking time and effort wise. So no, I haven't. So, you know, like people want shit, but from wanting something and telling your partner, yeah, I want it too. From being like, I'm committing, I'm actually going to fucking do this. It's important not only for me, but for our relationship and for our future. That's a completely different thing. So I don't think, no matter how hard it is for someone to go through what he's going through, you don't have to go through it as well. Two people don't have to fucking go down with the ship. You don't have to go down with the fucking ship. So if he's wanting to change, if he's making changes, if he's trying, that is when you can actually support someone. But someone sitting there, not changing anything about their lifestyle, you just being with him is not supporting him. You're just waiting. That's what you're doing. Support would be when their support is not like, when you talk about supporting someone, the supportive person is not doing all the heavy lifting. They are supporting the work. If he's not doing any of the work to get better, then what are you supporting? The addiction? Like, what are you supporting? You're just there waiting. You're like a hostage to your own situation. So my insight into this is, when do you know that enough is enough? When you can see for sure that there's a consistent pattern of just words and no action. That's when you know enough is enough. And you choose the time frame when to call it. You can wait a month, you can wait 2 months, you can let him know about this time frame, but that is when you know enough is enough. You're like, stop talking and show me actions. If I can see change, I am willing to support you through that change. I'm willing to help you. But if all I do is hear, if all you do is words, blah, 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 I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And that's where you need to be putting your own needs first, because you have your life to live. You're obviously a listener of my podcast, so you're interested in developing your life to the fullest. and this is not it. Okay? So that's when you know when enough is enough. If there's lack of action and all talk, that's kind of your answer, unfortunately. And I hate this for him, but, you know, we don't need two people, you know, in this situation. We don't need any more people. At the end of the day, like you said, he is an adult and it's ultimately his decision, ultimately, if he's going to change or not. You can't decide that for him. Thank you so much for writing in. Thank you to everyone who's written in. I appreciate all your beautiful messages, your questions, your concerns, everything. Love you guys so much. As always, remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone, and especially don't take shit from yourself. Duncan.